so welcome to the third talk of this session, which I think should be titled Three Times the Harmonium and Power as Talk. It's a great pleasure to be here for, I don't know which, or 10th time or 20th time I lost the count. I never get tired of this city, and apparently conference organizers don't get tired of me, so thank you once again. Now to Ramon, you are still 69, soon you will be 70 years young. And we are definitely counting on your continuous impact and input on this series of meetings that you conceived many years ago. And what I'm going to do today is to tell you a short story. I think my story got even shorter after Jesus's eloquent presentation. If you want to hear a long story, please come in October to a second Girona meeting, provided Ramon gives me 1 hour time slot. And I will tell you about all the things that we are doing. But today I'm going to tell you about only a small part of our research, which is benchmark tool configuration interaction calculation. On harmonium atoms, in fact, it is a package deal because immediately after my talk, there's going to be a companion presentation by my host, Dr. Maybe I don't need it. Can everybody hear me?
You need it.
Dr. Pedro Gras. So I'm going to tell you about how we do it, and he's going to show the actual results. All right, harmonium atoms, why harmonium atoms? Well, as you already know from Jesus's presentation, exactly quasi-solid models of quantum mechanics that pertain to something interesting are few and far in between. Among non-trivial instances of such model, a non-relativistic harmonium atom, which is defined by this Hamiltonian, is particularly interesting. And very often people say that harmonium is special because you can get exact solutions of it in two-electron case. Well, that's true, but from a point of view of quantum chemists and maybe even solid-state physicists, harmonium is really beautiful for another reason, namely it's an infinitely tunable system when it comes to electron correlation. If you take ordinary Coulombic system, let's say helium-like atom, and you start decreasing Z, you can only go that far with increasing electron correlation, because at some value of Z, electron will fly away, and that's it. With harmonium, you can go all the way down to classical limit, which corresponds to perfect correlation among electrons. So if you use harmonium as a benchmark for approximate methods of quantum chemistry or solid-state physics, you can have really stringent tests. And that's a very demanding test that you can apply to those approximate methods. And that has been, before I go to the next transparency, I have to tell you about publication by Santos. Well, actually, I have to humbly admit that the person who brought him back from oblivion is myself. That happened in the year 2003 or 2004. I was giving a talk at the University of Vigo in Galicia on the atomic harmonium. And I had some transparency that looked like this. Before Taut, actually, there were several other people who dealt with harmonium. And I thought, and I think most of the people in the field would agree with me back then, that the first person who brought harmonium to a realm of quantum chemistry was Octave Sinelor, who used it as a model system in his studies of electron correlation. So that's what I said, and then some Spanish researcher from the University of Vigo got up quite upset and said, well, that's not correct. Actually, there was this guy, Santos, who did it first. And I said, well, I never heard of this person, and I never heard of this publication. And then the next day, he brought it to me. And, well, it was in some obscure journal in Spanish, never translated. So I think here is a message to our youngest colleagues, publish in highly visible journals if you want to get a credit. All right, so let's go to the next transparency. As I said, harmonium atoms differ from ordinary Coulombic counterparts only in external potential, and because they have been used quite extensively in testing of both, mostly of density functional theory, and those were usually done at four constants, omega equal 1/2, which corresponds to the simplest form of a wave function. In general, for solvable cases, you have a wave function of a form of a product of two harmonic oscillator wave functions times the just flow factor, well, times of course the spin part, and the just flow factor is a polynomial in R12 in inter-electronic distance. And in this case, this polynomial is just a linear function from omega equal 1/2. Now, that's very nice, and I apologize for those of you who are not on the list. There are so many papers here that I have to run probably another two or three transparencies, and we don't have time for that. The point is that two-electron harmonic is nice, but it's kind of boring from the point of view of a quantum chemist. Why? Well, because if you do DFT and you want to calibrate your functionals, well, two electrons are perfectly adequate for that. But if you want to, if you are interested in this matrix functional theory, well, we know that functional for two electrons. If you are a molecular orbitals type of guy, you know, well, you say there is nothing special about two electron systems. Most of it, quote, approximate methods like CCSD, for example, are exact for two electrons. So there's really nothing to test. We want to go to systems with more electrons. Unfortunately, I think I will skip those transparencies. Maybe I will go back to the delay. So what happens for two electron system, you can factorize the Hamiltonian into intracular and extracular part, and for certain values of omega, you can find exact solutions, as Jesus reminded us. Those were found by Taut and others. But when you go to free electrons, you can still separate so-called cone mode, which is a motion of center of mass, and there's a harmonic motion, but then it's your simplification stops. You cannot go any further, and you cannot obtain any analytical solution. So you have to resort to numerical work. Now, harmonium atoms, as I said, they were studied quite a lot for two-electron case, but for more than two electrons, there have been very few studies. And the result is obvious, there are no analytical solutions, and basically there are there is one paper in which, in collaboration with several people, we studied simple Pell model and also looked at some low-level quantum chemical calculations. Ground state energies and wave functions of 3 and 4 electron harmonium are known analytically at the limit of omega going to 0, which is quite nice, quite simple to do, because we have a semi-classical limit Wigner crystal, or as solid state physicists and plasma physicists would say, a Coulomb crystal, or spherical Coulomb crystal to be exact. And also there have been several states of harmonium atoms with up to 8 electrons calculated with 3 different versions of Monte Carlo approach by Varga and collaborators. And also for several, for exactly 3 values of omega. Now, we are interested in harmonium atoms primarily because we want to use them for testing of different approximate methods of quantum chemistry. But of course, harmonium atoms are quantum doses in 3 dimensions, and they are also spherical Coulomb crystals in a limit of omega going to 0, and spherical Coulomb crystals and their analogs, in which Coulombic potential is replaced by Yukawa potentials, are of very much interest nowadays, especially in the description of entrapment of boson condensates in different kinds of traps, and also in the description of so-called dusty plasmas. But we don't have time to go to that. So in light of these facts, it would be really nice to come up with some robust algorithm for producing benchmark quality data on harmonium atoms with more than 2 electrons, especially we are interested in energies, but of course also in densities and density matrices. And if we want to do something that does not require too much human intervention, which means selecting which states we want to include and so on, the only really method of choice is full CI, full configuration interaction. And in fact, full configuration interaction on two-dimensional quantum dots have been already reported and produced data of useful accuracy that was already done 4 years ago by another group, but we are looking at 3-dimensional species. So we are going to answer three different questions. First of all, we want to determine magnitudes of omega for which those calculations are going to provide us with results of reasonable accuracy in a reasonable amount of computer time. Second, we would like to come up with basis sets. Obviously, we cannot use basis sets, standard basis sets of quantum chemistry, because we are dealing with different external potential and we are dealing with different values of omega, so we need great flexibility in basis functions. Jesus was lucky because he was looking at omega equal 1/2, which makes the harmonic very similar to helium atom. You can use standard basis functions for helium that works reasonably well, but once the omega is different, we're going into a lot of trouble if you try to do that. And third, we wanted to come up with reasonable extrapolation schemes that would give us a few microhertz accuracy of a final result. So I'm going to talk exclusively on the result on about the results on two-electron carbonium, because we are testing our methodology. In a talk immediately after my presentation, we'll hear some results for three electron species, which is much more interesting than a two electron case. So what do? We use even tempered basis sets, completely uncontracted, and what we do, we use maximum angular momenta between 0 and 3, and within each angular momentum we have the same number of spherical Gaussian primitives, number n, and n varies between 2 and 8 in our testing, but in fact, in final calculations, we use n between 4 and 8, so we have a sequence of 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 for a reason that you will see in a moment. And we even temper them according to a standard formula of Rudenberg, which is just a geometric progression. And we have two parameters. We have alpha for a given omega, we have two parameters, alpha and beta. And those parameters depend on the maximum angular momentum of our basis sets and the number of primitives within each angular momentum. We minimize full CI energies using a combination of simplex and then once we are close to a minimum, Newton-Raphson methods. And once we have the energies computed for particular value of n and particular combination of L and n, then we extrapolate them first to n going to infinity limits, and that gives you values of energy E sub L, depending on omega. And once we have those, we extrapolate them then to complete basis set limit, which corresponds to n going to infinity and L going to infinity. Those are two separate steps, and we believe, for some reasons that I really don't have time to get into right now, that it's necessary to do it this way. So we have to do separate extrapolations for n and l. So let us start with extrapolation with respect to n. We use generalized Dunning extrapolation. We have two exponential functions. We found that one exponential function is not adequate in our case. So we have values for n equal 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. That gives us 5 points to which we have to fit 5 unknowns, including the EL value, which is extrapolated energy. Here is an interesting note. You get a system of 5 nonlinear equations, but this very nonlinear system of equations has an analytical solution, which goes back to a famous Indian mathematician who worked in number theory, Ramanujan. So we can solve the system of equations analytically. We obtain the extrapolated estimates of EL, so those would be limits for a given L with infinite number of basis sets within a given L. They correspond to contributions from partial waves of different angular momenta. And once we have those, the second step is trivial. That goes back to Professor Kuzernik and Morgan. We know what happens, how those energies change with L. We are dealing here with singlets, so the asymptotics is like 1 over L to a third power. We're going to be more farther than that. We have a shift of L, which partially accounts for higher order terms in the asymptotics. And that gives us a complete basis set limit. We have n equal 1, 2, and 3, 3 unknowns, so that's how it works. Now let me tell you very briefly about computational details. Well, first of all, those estimates are definitely closer to the exact values than unextrapolated counterparts, but that was variational. Yeah? The individual energies are variational, but once we put them through extrapolation, there's no guarantee that what comes out from extrapolation is variational. But we really don't, well, we are not bothered by that because we get good accuracy anyway. And all the calculations have been done with Gaussian free suite of programs. We kind of married Gaussian with full CI program of nodes and handy, the old good old program. But that works very, very nicely. All right, so before going to the results, I would like to mention that there are really two correlation regimes with two electron harmonium, and that's also true with harmonium atoms with more electrons. And those two correlation regimes are delineated by a critical value of a force constant or a confinement strength, omega. And if omega is larger than omega critical, we are talking about weak correlation regime. If it's less than that, there's a strong correlation regime. You may ask why this particular value. Well, this value comes from the fact that as you pass through that omega critical, the electron density changes qualitatively. For omega greater than omega critical in a weak correlation regime, we have electron density more or less like in ordinary atoms. Of course, we don't have a cusp at the nucleus, but we have a maximum. But when omega is smaller than the value, we get a minimum at the nucleus accompanied by a maximum, a radial maximum, away from the nucleus. And that is, of course, not very surprising because at the limit of omega going to zero, we are going to see what Paula showed us on this little transparency. We have two electrons perfectly correlated on poles of a sphere, so to speak. So, of course, the maxima are away from the center of a sphere. Now, for omega greater than omega critical, the system is essentially set of two three-dimensional harmonic oscillators perturbed by Coulombic coupling, and is amenable to description of perturbation theorem, which yields this very nice value of delta. You get logarithms and r, and it's quite interesting. I think Peter Gill knows more about that than we do. All right. Now, when we go to omega less than omega critical, it's basically a Coulomb crystal, a classical system perturbed by quantum effects due to kinetic energy. Quantum chemists, of course, are interested in a weak correlation limit because that's what resembles real atoms. Basis set exponents. Well, we found that those basis set exponents vary smoothly with omega, as they should, because there's always a danger that when you optimize those values, you can hit some local minimum, and then you get noise or some jumps in dependence of alpha and beta on omega. So we are very careful about it. It's one of our quality checks. And it turns out that as omega becomes smaller than omega critical, the calculations are getting more and more difficult. Not that they converge slower, more and more slowly, that's not a problem, but we get numerical instabilities. We get linear dependencies on basis sets because the beta, the ratio in the geometric progression, gets to 1. Apparently, in order to get this minimum at the nucleus and maxima away, requires basis sets that are almost degenerate when it comes to the exponents. So, well, that's a good news. I mean, that's a bad news, but you know, it's not such a bad news because, as I said, in that regime is not very interesting for quantum chemists anyway, so we don't have to worry about it. And if we really want to do calculations for that regime of small omega, we have to come up with some other basis sets, let's say basis set of a harmonic oscillator, but then of course we don't have as much flexibility as we have here. So in practice we find out that full CI calculations with those basis sets that we are using are limited to force constants greater than 300. And if we want to get this accuracy. Here I have plots of some functions of alpha with respect to omega to minus 1/2, and we found empirically, and I challenge people in the audience to come up with a theoretical theoretical reason that would lead us to that equation. It turns out the logarithm of minus n times omega to 1/2 times logarithm of alpha is almost linearly dependent with respect to omega to minus 1/2. There is some quadratic dependence, but it's very weak. That's, we have here n equal 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and you can see that 2 and 3 is quite irregular. We have kind of waviness, and there's a reason, same thing for n equal 3, there's a reason we limited ourselves to two calculations for 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, as I mentioned before. Similar thing with beta, here we have much simpler formula, so maybe theoretical justification of that would be easier, and you can see that as omega becomes smaller and smaller, yeah, we have omega to minus 1/2, those curves hit zero, which corresponds to beta equal 1, which means degeneracy, yeah, of basis function. That's the source of those problems with almost linear dependence. That's basically what I said. For 2 and 3 primitives, the dependencies are less regular, and if we try to use those in extrapolations, we don't get good results, actually. Okay, now, because we optimize our exponents very carefully, the limits of n going to infinity are approached quite rapidly. So for example, for this standard case of omega equal 1/2, if we take 8 primitives of S type, we are already within 10 to minus 7 hard tree, comparing to the energy that was previously obtained with 16 Gaussian functions. So our convergence is pretty good. And you can see actually how it works. Here we have number of primitives, how alpha, beta, and energy converges for L equal 1, 2, and 3. So we have SP, SPD, SPD, F functions. And of course, at the limit, or at the limit of limits, so going this way and then going to equal infinity, we should get exactly 0 for omega equal 1/2. Okay, yeah, so as I said, we extrapolate things first to n going to infinity and then to the CDS limit. And now we can compare values of E0, which accounts only for radial correlation, with those values that were published before by KTL and collaborators. And we see that we agree to all digits with their values for most of the cases, and in some cases we are even lower than that. And here you can see the compilation of those values. The rows in bold correspond to exact solutions that are available for omega equal 1/2, 1/10, and this expression. So we have correlation limits E1, E2, E3, corresponding to L equal 1, L equal 2, L equal 3, partial waves, partial wave contributions to total energy. And if we look at the weak correlation limit once again, this perturbative expression, we can see that indeed those limits conform to this equation, the delta changing the following way with L, and that can be compared with the exact value of delta equal minus 0.0779, so indeed we have nice convergence. Those energy lowerings due to n going to infinity extrapolations are quite significant. For large force constants, they are as large as roughly 10 to minus 5 hardly, and because our target accuracy was single micro hardlies, definitely we need those extrapolations. And one can do the following thing. One could include those energies coming from two primitives and three primitives, two primitive and three primitive calculations. In those extrapolations, we could simply add one more exponential function in generalization of Dunning extrapolation. But if we do that, we actually get erratic behavior of extrapolated energies with omega, and that's again because of erratic, less regular variation of those two energies with omega if you don't have enough primitives. So here you can see how those lowerings due to extrapolation to n going to infinity depend on, again, omega to minus 1/2. And that's another quality check, which is important, that all the curves are really smooth. Because for two electron harmony, we can always compare with exact results. That's fine. But once we go to more electrons in a harmonic atom, we really have nothing to compare with. Those values are going to be completely new. So we have to make sure that we are hitting the global minima rather than the local ones, that we don't have some programming errors and so on. So we really want to see smooth dependencies of everything on omega. Okay, now, so once we have n going to infinity extrapolation done, the second step is CDS, limit extrapolation, using standard formula depending on L. And in that formula, we have a parameter C, which should be of the order of unity, and indeed it is. So you can see the extrapolated energies, final extrapolated energies, values of B in a denominator of extrapolation formula, and C, which is the shift of angular momentum, and you can see all those values are quite reasonable. Excuse me. And now here we have the values. And well, for 1/2 we should get exactly 2. We are not doing bad. For 1/10 we should get exactly 1/2. Not too bad. For this we should get something that is a multiple of this number, I guess 6 times. Well, that's difficult to multiply and see how much accuracy we have, but let's go to the next transparency. And here we have values of energy divided by omega, that's much clearer. That should be 4, that should be 5, and that should be 6. So we are doing quite alright. We also calculated it for some other values of omega. In this case, the exact values come from our extensive calculations from the year 2000, in which we use the ansatz mentioned by Jesus, probably to 14 digits or so. So when we compare our extrapolated values with the exact values, we can see that we are, well, doing our greatest error is of the order, relative error is of the order of 10 to minus 5, which I think is sufficient for testing of all the quantum mechanical methods. We are expecting similar accuracy for larger number of electrons. Well, it turns out accuracy is slightly worse, but that you will learn in the second talk. So what are the conclusions? It turns out that full CR calculations can be, when used with sequences of even temporal basis functions and proper extrapolations, they can be used in production, and I'm using this word on purpose, production, because we want to generate lots of benchmark energies to be used by other people. So we are very useful in production of benchmark values of energies for two electron harmonium and hopefully for a larger number of electrons in harmonium atom. And they require 15 full CI runs. They are not very computationally demanding. So I think they open an avenue to systematic, fully automated computations of electronic properties of harmonium atoms with greater number of particles. Now, those errors in energy estimates, they are comparable to those that one obtains with Monte Carlo calculations for two electron case. And of course, for two electron case, the methodology that I presented here is not competitive with other approaches, like a numerical one. But once you go to larger number of electrons, of course, you cannot solve Schrödinger equation numerically, and the quality of Monte Carlo results erodes very quickly. So then, of course, we are coming ahead of other approaches once we have more than electrons. As I said, further research is necessary to understand the observed dependencies of optimal basis parameters alpha and beta on the force constants. Would be nice if we could predict them a priori. That would save us a lot of computer time because we would be closer to minima, and then that would take fewer full CI runs. And last, transparency may be the most important one. Where the funding, you read yourself. And the collaborators, Dr. Edward Matito and Professor Sergei Vygotchikov, both of them are present in the audience, I guess. So thank you very much for your attention.